Let's go to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. We're going to begin reading at verse number 1. We're going to read a story, miraculous story, amazing story. We're going to focus in on the I Am that we find in John chapter number 11. Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, New Testament. Chapter number 11, John 11, verse 1. Let's stand this morning for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto the fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was come, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, calling Mary her sister secretly. The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit, was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. Some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind had caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! He that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him and let him go. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the reading of the Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for a Bible. And Lord, allowing us to live in a country where we still have the freedom to read and to preach and to study, Lord, and to speak openly of the things of the Lord. Now bless, Lord, us as we gather together. I ask, Lord, your blessing upon each listener here today. I pray, Lord, that you'd help this preacher, God. May I stay focused, Lord. May I keep my mind on Christ. May I stay within the boundaries, Lord, of what you would have me to say this morning. Lord, we want to lift up Christ. Just another place, Lord, where we see Jesus use this amazing phrase, I am. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would help us to see all that Christ is and all that he wants to be for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This is the sixth sermon in our series on the I Ams of the Gospel of John. I am the resurrection. Now we've seen in this series as we've preached so far, we've seen Jesus proclaim, I am God. We have listened as he taught on, I am the living bread. We've studied the life of the shepherd and the sheep as Jesus declared, I am the door of the sheep and I am the good shepherd. We were blessed and challenged and given the secret to bearing fruit in our sermon on, I am the true vine. Last week we preached on the Trinity of I Ams, found in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I hope, by the way, that you're beginning to understand that Jesus is, always has been, and always will be everything that you need. Jesus could freely and accurately use the I Am title because Jesus is the eternal God. Hey, Christian, Jesus is your Savior, right? Why don't you let Him be your God? Why don't you let Him be your God? Hey, new convert, you let Jesus save you. Why don't you let Him nourish you? He is the bread of life. Let Him lead you. He is the good shepherd. Abide in Him so that you can bear fruit. He is the true vine. You let Him be your gate. Now let Him be your road, your truth, and your life. Whatever you need today, you can find it in Jesus Christ. Today we're going to preach on the I Am found in John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection of the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We're going to have a good time this morning. Let me say, first off, the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the foundational teachings of the Word of God. Let me have you quickly, and I want you to hold your place in John 11. We'll be back here, but can I have you go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15? I want to just take a couple of minutes and talk about the doctrine of the resurrection. The doctrine of the resurrection. This is a foundational teaching, a building block foundational teaching in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 1 says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I make a statement here? Do you know, do you realize that you cannot be saved if you do not believe in the resurrection? Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I remember talking to a man, I could take you probably to the house over in Duggar, and I had the privilege here, it's been a year or more ago, that I knocked on a door over there, and the man came to the door, and we began to present the gospel, and you know what? He was in agreement with almost everything that I shared with him from the Scriptures. When we got to the part of the gospel where we talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he took a step back, he shook his head, and he looked at me and said, Preacher, I'll just be honest with you. I've always had a problem with believing the resurrection. I don't really believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I closed my Bible and I looked at him and I said, Let me encourage you, first of all, to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You need to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I said, because unless you become convinced, unless you by faith accept the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, You cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. And with that admonition, I left him a gospel tract and an encouragement to read the Scriptures. But you know what? You have to decide what you believe and about the resurrection. But the Bible says it's foundational, it's pivotal. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot receive the gospel if you do not receive the resurrection. Let me say this also. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was eyewitnessed and well documented. In 1 Corinthians 15, if you're still open there, the last verse we read, verse 4 says, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, one of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." And of course this is being written by Paul, and he saw Jesus, the resurrected Christ, on the road to Damascus. And let me say this, folks. I've listened all my life, as you have, and I've heard the scoffers and the naysayers when it comes to the resurrection. But we have eyewitness account. People that were alive, even at this writing, were still alive that saw Jesus in His resurrected body. The writer of 1 Corinthians, Paul, said, "I've seen Him with my own eyes on the road to Damascus as one born out of due time. I saw Him in His glorified body." The resurrection of Jesus Christ was eyewitnessed and well documented. Let me say this last of all. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the hope and assurance we have as Christians that we also one day will rise again. Let me just go ahead and read verse 12 down a little ways in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" You see, folks, there's always been naysayers. There's always been people that won't believe. Notice verse 13, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. But if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. And they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Notice verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept." Here Paul kind of plays the devil's advocate for a minute there, and he says, listen, some of you are saying there's no resurrection. If that's true, he begins to list the ramifications of believing that. But then he goes on to assert. He goes on to say assuredly that Jesus Christ was the first fruit. He was raised from the dead. Jesus Christ was the resurrection. Now, if you'll flip back over to John chapter number 11, we're going to look at the story of Lazarus. Let me take this story and other parts of the Bible. Let me answer four questions for us today. Here we see the story of a man by the name of Lazarus, and he died. He died, and Jesus was told that he was sick. Jesus purposely delayed his departure from Bethany for 2 days. By the time he got to where Lazarus was, he had died. He had already been in the grave 4 days. And yet Jesus knew all along what he would do. Jesus said back in verse number 4, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby." He says down in verse number 11, "These things said he, and after that he saith to them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." See, folks, Jesus knew all along what was going to happen here. And Jesus on purpose delayed his departure because he wanted the people to see a miracle and to believe that he was truly the Son of God, that he was the resurrection. And so we see a man die. Now here's the first question I want to present to you. Why do men die? Why do men die? In this story, a dear friend of Jesus dies. You know what? We see in this story the Savior get very emotional. We're told in this story that he was very close to this family. This was the family that he had sat and eaten and taken meals with and spent nights in their home. And he had a great attachment. Verse number 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." He had a personal connection here. We see Jesus get very emotional here in the death of Lazarus. This touched his heart. You ever been there? You lost a loved one? Lost someone very close to you? You ever asked the why question? Why? Why did they have to die? Well, the answer to that question, folks, is found in this. The answer to this question, why do men die? Why do men die? Here's the answer, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, if by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know why men die? Men die because of sin. Men die because of sin. We die because it's part of the wages of sin. It's part of the curse of sin. Every one of us has sinned, and every one of us, barring the rapture, will experience the death of our mortal body. This is the unchangeable law of God. Sin produces death. Sin causes death. Sin's penalty is death. Sin's cancer eats away at this temporal body until it succumbs to its powers. Folks, the reason people die is because of sin. Because of sin. That means that if Jesus doesn't come back in the rapture, there'll be a day that I die, there'll be a day that you die, and the reason isn't that God's mean or God's bad. The reason is because of sin. We die because of sin. Now, I got another question for you, and in this question comes great hope. Brother Jerry, has anyone ever defeated death? Amen. Why do we die? Because of sin. Who defeated death? Jesus defeated death. Can I read Luke chapter 24? I'll just read this to you. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. They took down his dead body and put it in a tomb and rolled a stone away. And 3 days later, God rolled that stone back out of the way, and Jesus stepped forth triumphant over death. Who defeated death? Jesus did. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Who's going to destroy that enemy? Jesus Christ is going to destroy that enemy. You know, the Apostle Paul saw the resurrected Savior on the Isle of Patmos. If you read the book of Revelation, we read an eyewitness account of what John saw that day. Let me read that account to you. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw the Son of Man clothed with a garment down to his foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass as it were burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. say, what did John see that day? He saw the resurrected Savior. And even the resurrected Savior proclaimed again, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. And then John observed and looked, and on his belt there were two keys there. And Jesus said, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. You know why Jesus had the key of death? Because he's the one that defeated death. I mean, before he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, Satan had one last enemy to threaten mankind with, death. But you know what? When Jesus rose again, I believe he stepped out of that tomb, he looked over at Satan, he said, give me the key! Give me the key! And Jesus took from Satan the only power that he had over man. Jesus Christ defeated death. Jesus Christ stepped forth from that tomb triumphant. That's why he could say to Martha, I'm the resurrection, I'm the resurrection. Here's the third question I want to give you a Bible answer to. What does death mean to the lost? What does death mean to the lost? And by the way, just because Jesus defeated death doesn't mean that everybody reaps the benefits of that. There are people that choose to live their life in unbelief. There's people that choose to neglect to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let me remind you of the words of Christ as he spoke to Nicodemus. He said to him, except a man be born again, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You know what? Because of what Jesus did, salvation is available, but it's not automatic. You must be born again. Each and every one of us has to, somewhere in the timeline of our life, decide that we're going to receive Christ, that we're going to receive what Christ has done for us and put our faith and trust in Him. What if I choose not to do that? What does death mean to the lost? Let me give you the answer. A second death awaits the lost. A second death awaits the lost. Revelation chapter 20, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What happens to a lost man is that he dies one death, a physical death, and you know what awaits him? An eternal death, the damnation of his soul. You say, well, I just listened to that list, and Brother Jerry, I'm not a murderer, I'm not a whoremonger, I'm not a sorcerer. Let me ask you this, are you a liar? You've never told a lie? You never told a lie in your life? Every single one of us has told a lie. If you're saying, I haven't told a lie, you just told another one. Now, the truth is, God left that in there in that verse on purpose because He was going to let us all know that man wants to judge the severity of sin. He wants to say, you know, these sins are sins that condemn a man to hell, but these sins aren't all that bad. But God says all sin is bad. All sin separates from God. All sin dooms a man to eternal hell. It reminds you of Luke chapter 16. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Can I tell you this, folks? I've spent my life witnessing to and trying to win people that were unbelievers. Sometimes they, by faith, choose to change their belief and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and are saved. Others maintain their unbelief. It's not that hard anymore to find somebody that says, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in a resurrection. I'm reminded, I thought about this, and I prayed for him again this morning. But there was a man that I worked with that actually was a supervisor, not my supervisor, but a supervisor when I worked at United Parcel Service years ago. I see him often in my mind. I still pray for his salvation, but this man was a professing unbeliever, atheistic in his outlook. He used to come down to my truck. I would load semis, third shift, I would load semis at United Parcel Service, and he'd come down at my truck from time to time, leave his dock over to my dock, just to torment me and make fun of my belief in Jesus Christ. He mocked the idea of the resurrection of the dead. I remember one time he came to me, and by the way, I welcomed his visits because it gave me the opportunity to witness to him. He would come and bring up the subject, and I'd have a chance to witness to him. But I remember one time he came to the back of my truck, and he said to me, he said, "Jerry," he said, "you know what's going to happen when me and you die?" I said, "Al, I know exactly what's going to happen when me and you die." He said, "Well, let me tell you." You know, he loved to ask questions that he didn't really want an answer to. He said, "Let me tell you what is going to happen when me and you die." And he went like this, put his hands over his chest, went like this. He said, "That's it. That's all that's going to happen." You ever heard somebody tell you that? You heard somebody say, "You know what? You know what? All that happens is they put you in the ground and that's the end of that." By the way, I'm hearing that from teenagers. I'm hearing that from grade school kids. I'm hearing that from, man alive, I'll tell you, the fear of God has about left our country. He said, "This is what's going to happen." I'm sitting there loading my truck and I'm watching him. And I said, "Al, I'm going to stop working. I'm on the clock, but I'm going to stop working for about 15 seconds. He said, "Okay." And I stopped loading truck and I said, "That's not what's going to happen." I said, "After you die, because of your professed unbelief, this is exactly what's going to happen. This." "God, I believe now. God, I believe. I believe. Give me some water. Give me some water. I believe now." And I turned around and started loading my truck. I looked back. His face was completely white. He turned around and he stumbled away from the back of my truck. By the way, what I was sharing with him wasn't a fairy tale. It was the absolute truth. Absolute truth. Let me say this. Jesus said this, "I'm the resurrection." You know what? He's saying I exist as the resurrection. I'm the only one that's the resurrection. If you're going to be raised again, you're going to be raised because of your belief in me. And if you don't, if you neglect to put your faith and trust in me, what does death mean to the lost? I'll tell you what it means. It means eternity separated from God in a burning, horrible place that will never, never end. The lake of fire is in the Bible. It's in the Scriptures. It's part of the divine preserved writ that we have to inform us of what happens after this earth. It's not a joking matter. Let me give you one more question, and we'll give you an answer to this from the Bible. Well, we looked at what does death mean to the lost. We see that a second death awaits them. What does death mean to the saved? You know what it means to the saved? The testimony of Lazarus, that poor beggar that I just read the story about in Luke 16, tells us of a different fate that awaits those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary's cross. We see Lazarus and his soul is ushered to heaven to await the resurrection of his body and to be in the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Can I read some scripture to you? If you're saved, so Jerry, do I have to worry about death? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." And then it says this, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Man alive, isn't that great? Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection." He wants to be your resurrection. Jesus Christ defeated death and hell. He died for your sins according to the gospel. He was buried and rose again the third day. He offers eternal life to all who will come to Him, realizing they are lost, confessing their sins, trusting in Him, calling upon the One who provided for them eternal life. Have you been saved? Have you been saved? Jesus wants to be your resurrection. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Let's still our hearts for a few minutes. Let's still our hearts. Let's be very quiet. Still our hearts for a minute. This gives God an opportunity right now to speak to each and every one of us. Please listen to what He has to say. Don't worry about the person beside you, behind you, or in front of you, or around you. Focus in for a few minutes on what the Lord is speaking to your heart about. This preacher this morning has got up and told you the truth. Most of what I've said, I read directly from the Scripture. Most of what I've said, I've read directly from the Scripture. Let me say this, folks. Jesus defeated death. Jesus paid for our sin. And you know what? Because of that, we can take part in the resurrection that awaits us after our death. I want to encourage each and every one of you to examine your heart. This is a serious, serious matter. Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? If you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? You need to review your life. Look back on the timeline of your life. Remember, Jesus said, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Can you find on the timeline of your life, can you visit a place back somewhere in your life where there was a time where the gospel was preached or someone shared the gospel with you? You came under conviction of sin. You realized you were lost. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You called out to Christ and asked Him to be your Savior. Has there been that time in your life? Jesus paid for our sin on Calvary's cross, but He defeated death by raising again the third day. He can offer us both forgiveness because of what happened on the cross and everlasting life because of what happened in the garden. Have you accepted that? The gospel is very simple. The Bible says that the gospel is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. If a man's willing by faith to put his trust in that, I trust the fact that Jesus was the Son of God. I put my faith in the fact that He died for my sins, was buried and rose again. And I'm willing to call upon Him and ask Him to forgive me and to save me. You know what the Bible says? Whosoever will come to the Lord, He'll in no wise cast them out. If you've never been saved, I would encourage you to be saved today. In a few minutes, we're going to have a baptismal service. We are not baptizing these people so that they will be saved. We're baptizing them because they already are saved. And it's the first step of obedience. Have you been saved? I didn't ask you if you've been baptized. I said, have you been saved? I didn't ask you if you joined the church. I said, have you been saved? I don't want a person that's here this morning to miss out on what Jesus is offering. He says, I am that resurrection. He wants to save you today. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around. Would there be anyone here today that says, preacher, the honest truth is, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen. I reviewed my life as you asked me to. I do not find a place where I understood the gospel, where I called upon Christ, where I received Jesus as Savior. I don't find that anywhere in my life. If I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen, but I do feel like the Lord's speaking to my heart. By the way, I won't embarrass you. I won't come get you. I won't call out your name, but I will pray. I want to pray for you. Preacher, I don't know what would happen to me if I was to die. Would you please pray for me? Because I'm concerned about it. Would you raise your hand? I'm concerned about it. Nobody's looking around. I'll be the one that sees it. I'm concerned about it, but I don't know for sure what would happen to me if I die. Please pray for me. Anybody at all. Anybody at all.